Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, every Thursday we have a big interview. Dan Lanning is today's interview. Today's Jamba interview. Life is better blended. Our local Jamba retailers supporting athletes, both at Oregon and Oregon State, through an NIL program. Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach. I got a lot of questions for him. I got questions about spring football and movies, and I want to know if he's on group texts. We were talking about group text messages. I'm not a big group texter. Do football coaches have different group text goings with different position groups? Their coaches, their families? What does his phone look like? Dan Lanning joining us. How are you, man? Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. Doing good. Appreciate you having me on.
Group text messages. What's your stance on those? I'm not good at it.
Well, I mean, whether you like it or not, it's a way of life now, my friend. And yeah, I'm not a big, if I could throw my phone away, that'd be awesome, but I just wouldn't be very good at my job. Right?
Same.
So yeah,
same.
I got a lot of group messages going. It's definitely something that happens a ton in recruiting, and certainly something that happens with our staff, the communication that has to happen quick, happens within position groups. So yeah, we got a lot of group messages going. You know, the frustration is when you have a group message with an iPhone, you know, everybody has an iPhone, you get the one Android that kind of throws everything off, and it's a green message now. Yeah. Like, it just bothers you. You see you have a green text message. You know, iPhone's got a monopoly going right now.
I have friends that I have entire relationships on where it's just us sending TikToks or tweets back and forth. We never really talk. We're just speaking through sports and social media.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to 2024.
All right, now we've handled that. Bo Nix in the draft. I'm fascinated to see what happens to him. What do you think draft is going to be like for Bo?
Well, it'll be a great day. And, you know, I know Bo would say it if he was here. He's going to end up exactly where he's supposed to end up. We'll see what that is. There's a ton of teams that I think have a ton of interest in Bo. And I know he's communicated with a lot of teams as well as our other guys. But I'm excited because I think wherever he ends up, they'll understand exactly what kind of player they're getting and what he can do for their program.
You got a guy like Jackson, Powers, who is going to go high as well. But what kinds of questions do you get? Like when scouts call you or text you, what are they asking about these guys?
You know, the film, it kind of checks out, you know, for itself. I mean, a lot of these guys are able to watch the film and kind of make a determination already of what they think of them as a player. I mean, I think probably the most common questions are stuff about, you know, this guy off the field. How's he going to be in a different city? You know, how is he as a pro? What's he like to coach? You know, what's the best way to coach him? I think there's a lot of those kind of questions. You know, what do you guys feel comfortable doing with him? And then, you know, a lot of questions just about them as a person and what kind of mindset they have. You know, these NFL teams want to coach guys that are trying to figure out ways to get better and improve. Luckily, we got a lot of those guys here at Oregon.
Yeah, it's got to feel good for you as a coach when you see guys that maybe you've coached at other places and now at Oregon who are fulfilling a lifelong dream, you know, and that's got to be a pretty cool thing for you to see that you've helped and played a role in that.
Well, I'm a small part of that. You know, those guys are extremely talented, but you love seeing guys that you care about go chase their dreams and have an opportunity for success, for sure.
The spring game is a week from Saturday. Let's talk about your quarterbacks that you've got in there now. What do you see in that room as it pertains to Dante Moore and Dylan Gabriel in particular, maybe some other guys?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this group. And it's always challenging as a quarterback to come in because you have to be, and Bo is this, you have to be the coach on the field. And you have a couple guys, coming back that have some experience in Austin, Novosad, and Brock Thomas in the system. But for everybody else in that room, it's relatively new, you know. So, you know, Dante and Dylan coming in, Luke Mogan's a freshman coming in. You know, they got to grow up really fast in spring ball. You know, it's a little bit different than a walkthrough. You're practicing and going full speed against a defense that's trying to get home every single second. So I've been really happy with the way these guys have handled the speed of the game. Certainly some more opportunities to improve. But the experience, I think, really pays off for guys like Dylan and Dante and what they've been able to go through already, and you can see their football knowledge growing, and then they're just unbelievable people. You're talking about we added some really good people in that room, which I'm excited about.
When you recruit kids, I'm always curious about this, is, you know, when you talk about, you know if they can play, but when you go on a visit and you're getting to know them or talking with their family, what are you looking for as far as the person is concerned?
Yeah, it has to be a fit. And, some positions it might be harder than others, but then I feel like I have a pretty good feel for people. And especially when you get to go talk to other people about that person and, what they say or what they do, what's the same, what they do, scream so loud, I can't hear what they say. I mean, you really get a feel for that when you get around, the players that you're recruiting. What are they like with the school counselor? What are they like with their family? How do they treat their mom? All those things kind of stick out to us when we go through that process of recruiting. And, not every single guy that we sign on our team is going to be a Boy Scout, but you look for guys that are going to be a great fit for the culture that you're trying to create here and build. And we hit some home runs with those guys.
You ever back away from a kid because of how they treat mom?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think you back away from people based on how they treat people. Right. And, that's part of the art of this, is there's a lot of people that are really talented football players. It's harder finding the ones that are talented and are going to get better, right? That are hungry to continue to grow and, have that growth mindset. And it's hard to find ones that have, unbelievable character. So that's always the challenge, because you got to run out there with a wideout. You got to run out there with a defensive lineman. You hope you can make sure you find the right ones. And then, part of that's your process too. I've seen guys that were maybe not successful somewhere else, that have been successful for us because of our onboarding process and what that looks like.
Onboarding. Tell me about onboarding. How does that work?
Yeah, just setting clear expectations for your program and how we do things, right? This is how we take the field. This is how we dress when we're out on the field. This is how we take notes in a meeting. And then you have to coach through that, because not everybody's going to realize exactly what that looks like when they get there. This is what going to class on time looks like. Oh, you didn't make it. Okay, we're going to make sure we have accountabilities for that, right? You have to coach and address those situations constantly and assume nothing, because every environment that somebody's coming from is not going to be the exact environment that we have here.
I watched The Long Game last night at the movies, about golf, 1950s high school golf team, Hispanic kids in Texas. First team to win a state championship that wasn't allowed to play at the course. I also saw Dune 2. If you and I are going to the movies, are we seeing The Long Game or are we seeing Dune 2?
Well, Dune 2 is popular in my house, and I hadn't watched Dune 1, but I did see Dune 2. That was a little while back.
You can't do that out of order.
No. I watched it first. I watched it on Amazon or whatever. I got caught up. I hadn't seen it, but because Dune 2 came out, I watched Dune 1.
Okay.
So that was great. Now, I don't know The Long Game. In fact, I haven't even heard of it until you brought it up. So it sounds like something I need to check out. All right, I got one for you.
Okay.
Hunt for the Wilder People. Oh, I forgot what it was called, but I'm in this mode right now where my kids are kind of in like PG-13, but the right kind of PG-13 movies.
Yes.
But not quite. So we're not rated R yet in our house, but we can go to so I'm always like, okay, what's the best PG-13 family movie kind of? That's right where we're at, with my kiddos. And the Hunt for the Wilder People is a pretty good one, man. You should definitely check it out.
I'm on it. I think you went to see Wonka, and then I think we went to see Wonka on your recommendation with our kids.
What'd you think?
I loved it. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was on the edge of my seat. Loved it. All right, let's go back to recruiting for a second, because I'm interested in this. Like, I think I'm a people person, but I think when you're looking for recruiters, it's not just finding somebody who can relate to people. Can you teach recruiting to a young coach? Can you make them a better recruiter, or do you need to inherently have some characteristics to your personality that bond you with people?
Well, I think what you can teach is what the extra is, right? Because everybody that recruits makes phone calls. Everybody sends text messages. It's about teaching what's on that phone call. Like, what's that conversation look like? And we spend time on that. We spend time on, what's your letter look like? What kind of questions are you asking? So, I think you can teach some of those details. What's hard to teach is hard work. If you don't have hard work, it's probably not going to show up. And to be a great you know, a great recruiter, you have to be invested in a relationship, and to be invested in a relationship, that takes time, it takes effort. So the hard work, that's hard to recruit. I mean, that's hard to teach, but what the actual conversations look like, you know, what is, you know, a benefit for our program, and what are we looking for in our program, and how do you sell what we have? You know, I think that's the kind of thing that you can definitely approach.
Oregon spring football game, Autzen Stadium, a week from Saturday. Matt Carney in concert as part of this deal. Are you a big Matt Carney fan?
Well, I know one song that I'm a big fan of. You know, Coming Home, that's a great one. But, yeah, I've got to meet Matt a couple times, and I'm a big fan of the person. I definitely enjoy his music. I know how much our fans enjoy his music. So, this, you know, we've always had a great turnout here since I've been here at our spring game, and we wanted to make sure that our fans, you know, had a little extra benefit to be able to come and enjoy this game with us because of, you know, a guy like Matt and his willingness to come perform.
I went and saw him in concert. He was in a couple years ago. He came to downtown Portland. He was fantastic and really good. And I always like when a guy will tell a story between songs. You know those concerts?
Yeah,
those are my favorite ones. Well, who's the last concert you saw?
U2 at the Sphere. I saw U2.
Oh, I have not been to the Sphere. We sent our 21-year-old though. We sent our oldest daughter there with all of her friends. We bought tickets for all of them, and they said it was amazing. Mm-hmm. But you tell me, what was that like seeing U2 at the Sphere?
Oh, the Sphere is unbelievable. Now, I thought I was like a U2 fan. Like I feel like they played some songs early on, and I was like, wait a minute. Like, where's the stuff that I know? But they finished off with all their bangers. And it was, I mean, the venue itself was unbelievable. And there was, you know, obviously some great songs to finish off there. There's still a couple songs they didn't play that I was like, man, I wish they would have, you know, played this. But overall, unbelievable setup.
I hate when musicians won't play the songs that we all know they should be playing. Like, Billy Joel would be like, I don't want to play my new stuff. I'm like, no. People want to hear Piano Man. You need to sing. You need to be Piano Man. When you're at the Sphere, is there a bad seat in the house, or where, if people are buying tickets, where do you want to sit?
Well, I don't think you want to be on the ground level. Like, there's a standing ground level, but beyond that, I think, like, get a seat, and then beyond that, I don't think there's a bad seat in the place. Wherever you're at, if you're on the ground level, you're gonna have a cool experience. I mean, it's really an unbelievable, you know. It's unreal. Just the whole setup, the visual effects, all that's off the chain.
Your athletic director saying that you've got more than 10,000 new season tickets sold. That's a big deal. It's been some time, I think, since season tickets sold out. What do you think of that? What reaction do you have when fans they're on board? You have the fan base is in.
Well, I think my reaction is that we have unbelievable fans here. You know, they've supported this team. You know, through a lot of awesome seasons. And I think this is just a great example of how it's only growing and only getting better.
Graduation's coming up. Sarah Mensah, the Jordan Brand president, is going to be the commencement speaker at Oregon. Would you ever want to do that? Would you want to be a commencement speaker?
Would I do it or want to do it are two different
things.
Would you do it?
Yeah.
I got a lot of other things in my life going on right now that I would put, you know, ahead of that, wanting to do that. But I would certainly feel honored and privileged if anybody ever asked me to. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff on my calendar right now. I wouldn't put that at the top of the list of priorities.
Bring you back to your high school. Would you want to go back to your high school, speak to the old teachers and your former, your classmates' kids who are now in high school, about to graduate, you know?
Well, no, you know, I'm actually coming up with my 20-year high school reunion. So, and here's somewhere I made a mistake. So in high school, I thought it'd be a good idea to be class president, right? So now I'm in charge. I've been in charge of every reunion. So somewhere in here, you know, outside of, you know, dealing with getting to be the head coach here at Oregon and doing a football team, I got to find time this summer to set up a 20-year high school reunion, which will be a lot of fun. I'm going to see a lot of great friends that I haven't seen in a long time. Going and speaking at graduation is probably not going to happen because I'm already committed to going to do, 20-year reunion there at Hometown Pizza.
Do you have to come up with a theme like Under the Sea, like you did in high school for that senior prom or whatever?
Yeah, no, I don't have to do that. No, just fellowship, right? And we get to tell all these stories about how great we used to be, right?
Do they call you Daniel, or is that just mom and dad? Do your classmates, would they say Dan or Daniel?
No, I mean, it depends on who you ask. I was probably Daniel all the way through high school, and then somewhere in college became Dan, I guess.
What area of your team has improved the most to this point? Like, what are you looking around going, you know what, we are just better at what?
Yeah, that's a really tough question because I've seen a lot of groups really grow. There's a couple players that have really stood out to me. Like Devin Jackson's a great example of a linebacker that I think has just got immensely better and still has a long way to go, but is really showing out and doing a great job. I think some of our younger D linemen have really grown up, you know, on offense. I think we've, you know, our wide receiver core, you know, you lose a guy like Troy Franklin, you're like, oh, is our wide receiver core, what's it going to look like? And I think that they're, you know, executing it at a higher level. You know, there's a lot of positions doing really well. You know, our running backs have looked good out there. Tight ends have looked really good. So I feel good about our team. I feel like we have a good team. You know, it's just about becoming a team. And then obviously when you get to the season, about staying healthy.
Do you do anything in spring ball on that health front? Because I've seen some coaches say, look, I don't want to have a crazy long spring game, or, you know, I don't want to have long physical practices. What do you do in the spring to kind of help with not losing a guy for the year in spring ball?
I guess I would just say I'd love to play those teams, right? Because we want to be physical. Football requires a certain level of effort and physicality, and that doesn't happen on accident. You have to practice it. Now, are we smart with our players? Yeah, absolutely. But we want to take advantage of every opportunity we get out on that field. And I'm not a big believer in cutting corners. If you want to be a good tackling team, you got to practice tackling. If you want to be good at blocking, you got to practice that. So do we adjust drills at times to make sure there aren't as many bodies involved to kind of protect people? Yeah, absolutely. But we still have live scrimmages. We still, you know, we still tackle, and I think that's something that's required to be effective.
Spring game, week from Saturday, Autzen Stadium. I encourage people to show up. It was a big turnout last year. I'm going to go see the Hunt for the Wilder People. And before you go, give me your favorite U2 song. What's your go-to?
With or Without You, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I don't even know if that's the name of the song.
Is that the one? I still haven't found what I'm looking for? No, With or Without You is kind of chill. Yeah. I see you kind of...
Yeah, I like chill U2. Okay. I have to pull it up right now. I mean, they have a couple of good ones that I'm a big fan of, but I'm not good at memorizing the name of the title. Like, I could just start singing you the song, and I'm not going to do that tonight.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Good luck with the reunion planning, and I'll see you at the spring game. I appreciate your time.
All right, thanks, John. Have a great one.
You too. Dan Lanning, University of Oregon coach. There you heard it. We hit the quarterbacks. We talked about the portal a little bit. We talked about recruiting, his movies, his group texting habits, U2, the physicality of practice, all that in that interview brought to you by Jamba. Life is better blended. Before we go to commercial break, I want to pull Steve and Anna back into the conversation about Dan Lanning. I'm excited. I'm interested to see where he's going. Most interesting thing Dan Lanning said. Anna, go, you first.
That he will be simultaneously planning a 20-year class reunion and preparing for fall football.
I love it.
I don't know how that happens. He's going to have a committee or two. He's going to have to delegate, which class. I guess he's probably already good at.
Yeah, there's that. It's good. Steven, what jumped out?
That was definitely one of them as well. I mean, I can't. How is he going to do that? How is that even possible that he's going to do both of these things?
You got to delegate. You know what's going to be funny is when one of his coordinators shows up for the reunion. And he's like, I was sent here. Will Stein, I was sent here.
He can't do that. He can't do that.
I skipped my reunions.
Yeah.
You're a big reunion person.
Kind of.
You're a reunion person. I was like, you know, love my classmates, want to remember them how they were. You know? You know what I mean?
Well, reunions are a little weird now because of social media. You already know what everybody is doing. Like, you're probably friends with them in some form, the people you choose to be in contact with. So it's not like you show up at the reunion and there's major surprises.
Well, what if Dan Lanning goes to his reunion at the pizza parlor there in his hometown?
Pizza.
What if he goes there and some guy comes up to him? What are you doing now, Daniel? You
know that would be amazing.
What have you been up to all these years? You know?
What stood out to you?
What stood out to me, when I really was curious about the recruiting question. For me, the whole interview was getting to, can you teach recruiting? Mm-hmm. Because he's such a good recruiter, I have wondered about, like, can you take somebody who's got some natural social skills or some smarts, and can you train them to be a better recruiter? Now, I've been around really good recruiters, and by and large, the good recruiters of yesteryear in college athletics were all big personalities. Mm-hmm. Really good personalities, hard workers, though, would have some personality, because you have to network. You have to know people. Know the high school coach. Know the club coach. Know the parents. Mm-hmm. Get to know the kid. Sell them on a vision. You're a salesperson, right? So to hear him say you can train them in sort of the blocking and tackling of recruiting. Mm-hmm. But he talked about being a hard worker, a relentless worker. I can't imagine in today's world recruiting, because of the competition and the portal and the agents involved. And it's just got to feel way more complex.
Yeah.
You know, and NIL, you know, it's to a certain extent, it's your ability to recruit. And then it becomes the first or second question that the parents are asking, or, okay, what can you do in the NIL space?
Right.
Or can I talk to your NIL person about what we're going to get? So I'm fascinated by that, but yeah, go ahead, Stephen.
I was going to say, well, how about when he was talking about, you know, you asked him if he's ever not recruited somebody because of the way they talk to their mom. Yeah. And he said, yes. It's almost as if, like, when he's out recruiting, he's almost looking for players that can recruit as well. Like, he wants people that I felt like are good socially. Like, if you're not going to treat people right, I don't want you at this school. Like, that's the way I kind of took it, as if, like, he wants to recruit, but he also wants his players to recruit these other players.
And you get a kid in the locker room who's going to treat his teammates respectfully and his coaches respectfully. And I got to be honest with you, a lot of the ADs I talk with, some of them will talk about their coaches not doing a good job of managing that locker room. I have one AD in particular in the Pac-12 who said to me, this is a direct quote, my head football coach is a child. Okay? And this AD said that they have to go back around behind the coach cleaning up messes. And it's not like criminal messes. It's just stupid stuff that the head coach should have buttoned down. And part of that is probably because said head coach is bringing people into the program that just don't treat other people right.
But that's like a cult. That's a culture thing, right?
Yes. 100% a culture thing. And if you're shortcutting that, what else are you shortcutting? What are you selling out? Great stuff. If you heard that interview and you liked it, you want to share it with a friend, grab the podcast. We're going to put that one up right away, and we'll get that out to as many people as possible. You got the BFT.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.